Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. And today we're talking about the X card. If you don't know what an X card is, you're not alone. The X card is an idea that you have an out and you don't have to explain why you're uncomfortable in a situation during a game.
Through an RPG. Yeah, it's a tool that you can use in RPG games. It was invented by this guy called John, was it Stavropoulos? I know I butchered his last name. He's Greek.
Really sorry that my husband just
butchered John.
His name.
Stavropoulos. Populous. Yes, and it was something we only really recently heard, even though it's been out for quite a few years, right?
Yes, we are behind in time sometimes.
Probably heard about it within the last, two or three years, maybe four. I didn't really see it as something that I needed in my games. I mean, I've been playing since I was a little kid, 1978, and I've played quite a few games in that time. You know, who knows how many D&D campaigns, and I ran space opera for years and years, and I've run games at conventions and played in conventions. And this whole idea that something in the game or something happening in the game would make me uncomfortable never really crossed my mind, and I've never really felt that. You know, I guess I've been pretty lucky, you know, because I didn't, in my years, I didn't hear about, until I was much older, I didn't hear about these horror stories that people go through playing with these whack nuts that call themselves role-playing people. You know, I played with my brother and I played with my friends, and we were pretty even keel. And it probably had to do with my brother, because my brother was 5 years older than me, and he's a very nice, not the nicest guy I know, but he's very nice, and he's very milk toasty kind of guy. You know, he was a
insult him by saying he's milk toast. He's more like a knight.
What's milk toast? I thought it meant like somebody who's very quiet and even keel.
I don't think that's what it means.
Okay, so
I don't think you know what it means.
No, okay, but he's literally a Boy Scout, right? He's the one that became an Eagle Scout and did the whole nine yards. And he was, you know, he was very moralistic and stuff like that. And because of that, you know, when the games he ran, even though he ran for teenage boys, which it was me, my friend Mike, my friend Sip, and Esteban, you know, we're all within two or three years of each other. And, you know, we didn't get into games with torture, rape, mayhem, you know, and none of that. Because, that's not the game he ran. And we never experienced that, which I guess is like common for most role-playing people, men in my age or younger, who play as teenagers and go literally off the rails about things they do, which I guess might be common. I don't know.
I never experienced that.
Well, you weren't a teenage boy.
No, but I did play with them, my brother and other teenagers.
Well, your
boys.
Brother. Yeah. He's like, okay, so if my brother is the Boy Scout, her brother is even more of a Boy Scout. Even without being a Boy Scout. So, though, you know, we stuck playing D&D, and we played, like I said, space opera. I really loved space opera. I ran a lot of that, and we played other games. We played even Dark Conspiracy, which, you know, there was a game that I ran that had to deal with children's hospital, you know, using children for experiments, right? But, you know, as a teenager, it didn't bother me. It was creepy, but I didn't have an emotional reaction or bad emotional reaction. I don't even like the term, but it does work in the situation that it didn't trigger any bad emotional memories about things, right? Or I didn't get a weird feeling because I didn't have kids. That makes sense.
But when you were a kid, you were in a hospital.
Yes, that's true. I was. I was at Stanford Hospital. Yeah, that was fun. You know, I really loved being there, but the food was terrible. It was terrible. And one of the things I remember doing was throwing up on the floor because they gave me some crappiest food. And my mother had to sneak in food for me because I kept that. Because I stopped eating because it was terrible. Terrible. And,
he was very spoiled by his mother, by the way.
This is when I was like six or seven, right? So my mom sneaks me tortillas and beans so I could actually eat. So I never had that experience. I never had that experience where something terrible happened in my life. And then in a game, in an RPG, something was happening that would, you know, that would cause me to feel really uncomfortable. But not everyone is me, right? Not everyone has the same experience I am. That's just part of the human condition. so now that I'm older, things have changed a little bit. I have a son, you know, me and Julian have a son. I know friends and family of mine have died and passed away. And some things might get me upset. Now, upset is not the same thing as being felt uncomfortable. Like, you know, both my sister and my mother died of cancer. And if there was a game where, you know, a mother or a sister was dying of cancer, it might upset me or might trigger an emotional response. But it's not something that would make me feel really uncomfortable. But there's other situations. So now that I'm a little bit older and have a little bit more experience, and like I said, things have happened. But I don't think anything along the lines that I've experienced, even with my mother's and my sister's death, would trigger me in the sense that it would really bother me during the game.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't need this X card. But there's some people who've experienced much worse, you know, experiences, you know, and I can see now that, you know, people play with strangers, especially like at conventions, and you don't know what their experiences are. Like, you know, I know my stuff that my friends have gone through, maybe not everything, but a lot. And I wouldn't purposely or come up with something and that would make them really upset and that they wouldn't be able to handle the game.
You also have friends who, if they did, or if you or them did something odd, they would call you on it or say, "What are you doing? That's uncomfortable," or whatever.
Right, and that's the good thing about playing with friends and playing with longtime people, you know, or people you know for a long time. But when you're in a campaign setting, sometimes you're playing with total strangers.
You mean a convention setting?
What did I say?
You said campaign.
I'm sorry. Yeah, in a convention. Game, and I run a lot of convention games, and I've never heard anybody talk to me or say something about one of my games that they thought was upsetting until recently. Right. I ran a Tales of the Loop game, a perfectly honest little, and I call it, and I don't run emotional games, right? I'm not into cathartic gaming, as Jolene calls it. You know, I don't want my players to explore
It's not a psychological session.
Of their feelings and their emotional states. And so I innocently, you know, just, you know, but games usually have, there's problems or conflicts. And in this case, there was a few deaths in the game. And the kids, Tales of Loop, if you don't know what Tales of Loop is, we have a whole episode on Tales of Loop. And the kids, you know, you play kids, and the kids were trying to figure out the mystery of what was causing these deaths.
Unfortunately, well, Saul said it in Monterey.
Well, it's my hometown. Well, my home area. I grew up in Monterey County, and so that's where I set the loop. And it could have been anywhere, but one of the scenes was these kids drowning. And after the scene, I explained what happened, and one kid goes. One player who was right next to me said, he goes, two of my friends died drowning. Right. He said. And I'm like, oh, and I go, well, we could, you know, and the scene was basically over. I said something like, oh, we could stop talking about it. And he goes, oh no, it's okay. It was a long time. It was over 25 years ago. And I'm thinking to myself, and I don't know if I said it out loud, but I definitely thought of it. I said, well, even if it was 25 years ago, obviously you mentioned it. So obviously it's impactful, you know, it's impacting you. So we went ahead and just left the scene, and it was the end of the scene anyway. So the event had happened.
It was hilarious in the fact that later on after that game, we were going to bed that night, and Saul says, it's the first time I've ever thought about using an X card, because this guy, yes. And he tells me the story, and he goes, and this guy's friends died in Monterey drowning. And I'm like, whoa, that's like, you know.
Yeah. He died when he was a kid. That was the problem, right? You know, the victims that I had in the game were teenagers, right? And so obviously it was about the right age that. And I don't think I guess he could have been that old. Yeah, he didn't look that old, but hey, everybody looks younger to me than me. So anyways, but I was really taken back by the situation that we had recently talked about the X card, maybe a year ago, maybe not even that long ago. And I thought it was kind of a hokey thing, right? Like, I'm like, you know, I don't run games where I'm going to, you know, I don't do torture. I don't do those weird.
You're not going to make people feel uncomfortable,
right? You know, I don't.
But you did.
I don't put rape in my freaking games. I don't do stuff like that. You know, abuse of any kind.
But you did the thing that you were supposed to do. You cut the scene. You didn't even have an X card. So an X card literally is a card that's sitting in the table. And if you're uncomfortable, you're supposed to touch it.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to have to say anything or anything.
Right.
So this guy obviously was more like me. He told you, oh, wow, that's bizarre because when I was a teenager, I had friends die there.
Yes. And I was like, I felt really bad. And I felt obviously it impacted me later because I told Jolene about it. And I'm like, man, if there was an X card. So, yeah. So the X card sits on the front of in the middle of the table. And if you go to if you look up X card, the person who wrote it, who made it, came up with the idea, has specific instructions of how to implement this tool. And he talks about how at the very beginning, before you start playing, you explain what the X card is. And you ask, and you tell people, you know, use it for anything that's not totally comfortable with or even comfortable with. The problem is that there's this politeness, right? Even though it seems like we live in an impolite world with road rage and people being nasty, having nasty comments on Facebook and stuff like that. But in person, people, I think, at least in my
experience
at conventions, you know, people don't want to ruin other people's fun. I mean, they don't want to. And I think that's what causes, there's some reservations.
You know, when he says that, it just makes me go, that's ridiculous.
Well, but it's true.
To me, and when we talked about the X card before, between ourselves, I thought my gut reaction is, well, that's ridiculous. People should be able to stand up for themselves and tell you that they're uncomfortable.
I agree.
But then that's just me. That's my experience, right? But I can see how other people might have a hard time. I don't have a hard time telling people what I think, as my husband knows. I tell him what I think all the time.
She has no problem telling what she thinks.
But and in conventions, I can see lots of different things that people might be uncomfortable about.
Well, there's some people who are shy, right? And they play role-playing games and they're, you know, working through their shyness.
Which I don't have a problem with that either.
And then they see something's happening in the game and it might bother them.
Well, and I've been in games where I've been uncomfortable with something someone said and I told them that I didn't like it and they didn't say it anymore. I have this thing about the fact that I don't like when, and Salt does it every once in a while and so does a bunch of his friends. They always call women chicks. And I go, okay, don't use that term. It's derogatory. And he knows this because I tell all of his friends when they say it not to do it.
And it pretty much, it's gotten out of use in my household and in my lexicon.
So, but then again, when I'm at conventions also, I was telling Saul that usually if I play a role-playing game, I have somebody that I know with me, or there is somebody that I know with me, or one of Saul's friends, or somebody that knows Saul. So it's not like I play with people that, you know, I might not know all of them, but I usually at least know one person.
Yeah, that does happen. But if you don't, the thing is that I think a lot of people they try to be polite and they believe that by hitting that X card, it might cause people to not be having fun for, you know, that may be one thing that goes to people's minds. And then they don't want to be singled out. They go, I was really getting jazzed about this game until you hit the X card. Or they might feel fear of reprisal. Not reprisal?
No. Yes, that's what you say.
It is reprisal. They might fear, you know, people getting mad at them for changing the scene and stuff like that.
But if you're playing a game where it might make someone uncomfortable, then you should be willing to change the scene.
Definitely, definitely. Because, you know, what's the point? Well, I don't know. Some people, they play some pretty weird games. But for me, the ultimate reason I play games is role-playing games is to have fun and to play in a world that is not real or so slightly different, or be able to do things that I can't do. You know, I can't swing from a zip line with a machine gun in one hand and spraying the enemy with bullets. You know?
Could, but it probably wouldn't turn out the same way as in your head.
Yeah, whatever. Do it well. How's that? I would be able to do it well. Or drive at super breakneck speeds and do all these bootlegger reverse and stuff like that in the streets of San Francisco and stuff like that.
Well, but if you think about it, if you're playing in a convention game or even in a game with people that you don't know, like you meet them and stuff, you always can get up and walk away.
Right. And then, but that takes...
I know some people won't do that, but I have a friend, Steve, who played in a convention game that he thought the GM was horrible, but he stayed. Saul has done the same thing with some other game.
Okay,
that...
so So Steve played in this game with this guy who was stoned. And he stoned, as in filled with marijuana, or whatever you call it. And he said that he was running a 5th edition game. Or maybe it was Pathfinder at the time. I don't forget what it was. But then when he got to the game, it's a homebrew. So then they had to make characters using this homebrew system. So they spent like 2 hours, 3 hours making the game. And then he didn't have a game afterwards. I think I would have walked away as soon as I noticed that this guy was stoned out of his gourd. And then, but Steve stayed the whole time. Well, Steve and Ian stayed, right? Yes. And then my experience was I was playing in the game, and it was a game I really wanted to try out. I wanted to see
how somebody else ran it,
and I really wanted to play in that game. I mean, this was really one of those situations where I bought the game because I really wanted to play it, and I was hoping if I ran it for other people, they might run it for me, you know. But that hardly has ever happened. If you look at my shelves and shelves of RPGs, that Jolene, I just bought some more RPG stuff too at a flea market, by the way. So the problem was is that the person was, you know, not really well prepared for the game. We had like a lot of players, and it took forever. It took forever just to get started because he basically, I think I've talked about it in the past, but he had half made the characters, and I understand doing that so you can add your own little personalization to the character, but
basically this situation, he ran out of time is what happened.
Maybe that's the situation. I don't know for sure.
He ran out of time, and then he had you finish making the characters. Anyway, you should have got up and walked away then.
And so,
but you didn't.
And so it took for a long time, but it wasn't the game, right? It was, we were just making the stuff, and then I was like, okay, I'm thinking as soon as we get done with this, we can, you know, start playing, and it would turn out fantastic, you know, or turn out okay. And it didn't, right? You know, he didn't, because it's a con game, you got to do shortcuts in con games. I don't think, you can't do that. Okay, you're in this world.
What are you going to do?
No, you can't do that in a con. You got to give them the mission and give them why you're going on this mission or quest or whatever you want to call it. You know, and this game was a post-apocalyptic or near post-apocalyptic game. It's like after World War III. And all our characters were like this.
Anyway.
This very diversified group of people from, you know. And there was no way for us to know each other. And basically he wanted us to come up with why we knew each other, which would have been okay if it was a small group, but there was like 13 of us. And so it just did not go very well.
That's the difference between a bad GM and a bad game. And there's no X card to push other than standing up and walking away from that.
Okay? Yeah, so in that situation, it's not an X card situation. It's a situation where you just get up and leave. Or
you sit and don't have fun.
And sit and hope that the game is going to be good and meal. And it doesn't. So, well, yeah. Anyway, yeah, there you are. But that's not the situation we're talking about. We're talking about a situation where it really does impact you more than just a little bit of emotion. And with emotion, it really bothers you. And in that situation, then the X card is really useful, I think. Now, it's really useful. Now, I don't, you know, I think I'll probably use it in the future. And I think, you know, if it doesn't ever get utilized, that's fine. But if somebody is bothered by something in my game, then I would want them to be able to have that tool to be able, instead of walking out or instead of having to raise their hand or whatever and tell me, you know, hey, you know, that was whatever the situation is. I think anything that makes the game easier to have fun, I think, and prevent people from being upset, I think that's a good idea.
I think that if you're playing in a convention game and someone is uncomfortable at the table and they say something and the GM doesn't change what he's doing, then you should stand up for that person also.
Yes, definitely. That's me. That's what we have to do, right? If a GM is really being an ass, whatever, you know, you say, you know, you got to change what the situation. You know, we're not trying to ruin everybody's fun, but this is, you know, unacceptable. You know, if somebody's already said something to you, to the GM, and they don't do anything, then, you know, the power of more than one person would definitely might have an effect on the GM. And if that's, you know, and if anything, you know, supporting somebody else makes the other person feel better. And then you can both look at each other and say, hey, we're out of here, and leave the game.
Not only that, but if they're not going to change what they're doing, then you just go and you tell somebody who's running the convention that this person, this is what they're doing. And most people that run conventions don't like that kind of stuff.
Right. You know, they don't want to get a bad rap for, you know, the word of mouth that, oh, you know, that your convention doesn't care about these type of situations. Game conventions, you know, they usually have a listing of the game, and there's usually some sort of a rating of the content. General, family orientated,
mature,
you know. And some people run those really mature things, and they'll even say it in the description. Now, why people want to play in those games, that's up to them.
And that's fine if they want to play in those games, as long as they know they're going to be there.
Right.
If you go into a game and you didn't read the description and you're uncomfortable, I suggest walking away. But that's just me.
Right.
I've never felt uncomfortable really in a con game. And if I did feel uncomfortable, I always said something.
Sometimes people say things that the other players, that's not the GM. The other players will say something like, hey, that's... And I'll tell them. I don't think I've ever told them, hey, that's not cool. But I think I would. I mean, I just, like Jolene, I'm like, I'm not going to... I'm to the point where I'm not going to have somebody... you know, do something that I don't really like, or I think is really upsetting, or not upsetting, but just wrong. I mean, there was this, I'm digressing a little bit, but it's sort of on the point. There was this guy talking about Call of Cthulhu, and he was talking about racism, right? And he was saying that nobody is GM. You know, as a GM, he wants to make it authentic, and if he wants to use the N-word, he's going to use the N-word, and nobody's going to stop him. I'm like, and then people were like, would you use the N-word, like, at a convention? He goes, yeah, and he was talking about running at Gen Con. Now, our conventions here, a lot of the games, role-playing games, take place in a private room, so you're the only game in a room, which is fantastic, right? Because, one, there's no noise from other people. It can really, you know, get into the scene and get into the system and into the game, and you know, you kind of isolated from other people. But at Gen Con, you run in a huge hall, and if some guy's saying the N-word and where, you know, multiple tables can hear you, I think that's truly offensive.
Or if you're in a private room and somebody says the N-word and in the game and you're uncomfortable with it, you should tell them not to use that word.
There's that. But what I'm saying is, this guy's saying, well, he should be able to use that word because it's historically accurate. Right,
oh, I would have words.
So I was at a loss that he was. And this is, you know, people say weird things on Facebook, but I was just like, you know, I go, really? And you know, and this guy is from the South, right? I had to look up where he's from, and he was from, I think, Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi. It was the Deep South, and he was not a person of color. So I'm like, dude, you got no right to use that word, and X card the heck out of that thing, right? You know, and of course this, but see, like I was telling Jolene, it seems like the people who most, the GMs that would most likely need an X card and should utilize an X card, probably think the X card is hooey because they want to, I'm going to run my game the way I want to run my game. I'm not going to be censored by some politically correct people. You know, it has nothing to do with being politically correct. It has nothing to do with censorship. It has to do with being a human being and caring about other people. That's all it's about.
This is true.
So
nobody should use derogatory language.
Right.
Especially in a role-playing game.
You would think. But, you know, there's people out there.
So
there's people out there. My answer to this, you know, historically accurate, you know, especially Call of Cthulhu, you know, you're playing in a game where there's big, big monsters, okay? That's going to eat the world, the universe.
And make you crazy.
Yeah, and make it crazy. So, you know, how historic accurate do you really have to be, you know, when you're playing a role-playing game? And in Call of Cthulhu, you know, even though it's a modern or recent modern game, you know, if you're playing 1920s Call of Cthulhu, it's still a fantasy role-playing game because there's monsters in it, okay?
And always take the shotgun, Saul says.
It's always take the shotgun because it does a heck of a lot of damage. Better than a pistol every time.
Well, yes. My advice is, if you're a new player and you are trying to find a group to play with or something, go and observe them. Don't just say you'll play, because Saul's been telling me horror stories about people going and playing games where they said, well, our group is a little, what did they say?
They have evil tendencies.
Okay, so if anybody said that to me, I would just walk away and say, I need to find a different group.
Well, it was funny because this is on a Facebook post. It had, and this person was saying, describes the situation, and basically she goes to the game, and there's a murder hobo who is the brother of the GM, who decides to attack a fellow player while they're being attacked by a monster. And he's playing a droll character and supposedly he's chaotic evil, and he attacks one of the players, hits him down to 0 hit points, and the other character, another new player, gets in the way and says, "No, you don't. No, shouldn't do this." And then the droll character, the evil guy, goes, "Oh, you've been sent to kill me. You know, you must be enemy, blah, blah," and proceeds to knock him down to 0. And at that point, I probably would have left the game, right?
Because I definitely would have left
BS,
the game.
It's BS, right? It's BS. So another character, you know, raises him up from 0 and then convinces him to stay, the characters, because the characters were going to leave. So he convinces the characters to leave, and thereby the players. And then they play, and then the next time they meet
and
up.
And then they come back.
And they come back.
Why would you go back?
They come back, and then the person says that the GM came up with this thing that the two new players had been sent to kill the droll, and that's why he reacted the way he did, which was totally not true or totally not what happened. But the GM, being the brother of the evil player, decided to give him an out. So, but what was really astonishing is that people in the comment section totally supported the droll player playing that way because, well, it's within his character's alignment, which I call freaking BS. You know, that's why you don't. Anyway, it was crazy. For the most part, I would say 90% of the people who were commenting were 9 out of 10 were saying, "Hey, you know, that guy's a jerk. You should have left. You have no, that's not a game. Keep moving on."
I don't think that's an X card situation. That's just a get up and walk away situation.
Yes, yes, yes. But what I'm saying,
I mean, because the X card is supposed to be where you are able to say this is uncomfortable for me. So for me, that would be the situation. I don't particularly like playing with evil characters. I'd probably kill them. So, but
evil players in this case, right?
But that the X card wouldn't really do you any good if the GM and his brother are the ones that you're playing with.
So so they're just crazy.
That's just a get up and walk away kind of thing.
So it's always a good idea to vet your new group. I know. I listened to the podcast and a long time ago they were talking about how they got a letter from this guy who would vet the new player. So this new and they decided to meet in a public location, right? In a at a restaurant.
Which is a good idea if you don't know people, don't invite them to your house. serial killers.
So they meet at some like cafe, right? And this guy comes jogging in, you know, or riding on a bicycle, and he basically is a terrible person, right? He says, it says everything that should cause you to say, "No, we're not going to call you back," right? Kind of thing. So he shows up and he talks about how terrible, how his last group, two groups kicked him out because of his actions and this and that. And he tries to sound like sympathetic or not sympathetic, but like the victim. And the other person is going, "This guy's a total jerk." No wonder they kicked him out. So, yeah, if you can, vet your group, vet your players, and make sure you keep weirdos away. But anyway, back to the X card. Years ago, I probably would have thought it was a bunch of hooey, that's for people who are weak or something like that. But, now I'm a little bit wiser, a little older. And so I understand people have gone through situations that are not mine. That's what makes us all different. And therefore, the X card is a great tool to use to prevent people from having a bad experience.
And I would also encourage people to not stay in a bad experience, to say something, and you know what? Who cares if you're ruining their fun?
I'll add a little bit. There's a new game. It's kind of like a card game. It's one of those story of GM-less games, and it uses an X card, but the X card is not only used for things that make you uncomfortable, but it's used to change the story, right? The direction of the story. Let's say you're going for
someone is building something with purple ooze and you don't want them to, you can use the X card, right? And change it to something else.
Well, it's like there's multiple uses for it. What I thought was interesting and what I heard about this game is that it's useful because it makes it easier to use the X card because you just don't use it when you're when it's triggering a bad experience, but you use it to change the direction of the story. Let's say you're all playing the serious game, whatever, and
you don't want to play a serious game.
No, and somebody interjects some like comedy. Well, you hit the X card and it stops that comedic person from, because it's like you pass around the talking stick, right? So this person decides, oh, you know, and it's a lot of things is people are playing in a serious situation. They use comedy to get out of it or to get out of that. It's like that nervous laughter kind of thing. So they use comedy to get out of a serious situation. Or the other way, right? If somebody is if you guys are playing a lighthearted game and somebody's trying to get into a deep, greedy
philosophical discussion,
whatever, and you tap the X card and you basically change, you stop that player from continuing down that direction. So what it does is it makes people comfortable hitting the X card, which I think is an interesting idea, because like I said, a lot of people, even though, you know, I've heard people say they use the X card and nobody ever touches it, which is cool. But sometimes I gotta wonder if it's that hesitation of oh, you know, you still have somebody has to out themselves and touch the card, and some people might be even uncomfortable doing that. But Jolene's right, you know, the more we use the X card and the more we try to make people comfortable doing that, you know, maybe we'll come into a situation where, you know, a time when people are what is it, have enough self-esteem and confidence to just you know, say, hey, you know, I don't like the direction this game is going. I don't like the subject. And be able to, and everybody being able to go, hey, yeah, cool, no problem. Or if that doesn't work, just walk away, right?
Or, you know, just tell them, yeah, stop using sexist language. Stop being a racist. Stop. I'm uncomfortable.
Right.
And if they don't stop, then you get up and walk away. Yeah, hello.
Yeah. But
it's just me, though.
But before you get that far, the X card as a GM, I think you should use it. It's a good idea.
You should also gauge the people that you're playing with and make sure you're not doing things that are going to make them uncomfortable.
But see, in my situation, I was totally.
I know. That was a bizarre thing, which you never know about. But the guy said something, so you didn't talk about that anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I think the X card just makes us be better players to each other.
More empathetic.
And that's not a bad thing. So this is Gaming Perspective. This is, go ahead, honey.
So this is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you guys have a good day. And this is because of daylight savings time, which hopefully in California we're going to get rid of.
That's why we sound so tired.
Yes. We sprung forward. Terrible. Anyway, have a good day. Thanks for listening.